Good morning, everybody. I'd like for the next few minutes to share some thoughts with you from Acts chapter 10. But before we launch into Acts chapter 10, I'd like us to remind ourselves of our key verse, which is Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In a very real sense, this is the mission that's brought to life throughout the book of Acts. But in another sense, this mission still continues, and we as church are very much part of it. What we learn from Acts is relevant to our ongoing mission. If you can cast your minds back to last weekend, we saw in Acts chapter 9, how Saul's persecution of those of the way, that's what the early church was called before they were called Christians, resulted in the geographical scattering of the church outwards from Jerusalem. It's interesting, I think, that God uses persecution sometimes to begin to spread the good news away from Jerusalem. Here in Acts chapter 10, we see the first non-Jewish converts, or Gentiles, to the way. In verse 1, we're introduced to Cornelius, an Italian officer in the Roman army. Cornelius and his family are resident in Caesarea Maritima, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean. At that time, Caesarea was the principal Roman city built by Herod the Great and the seat of Roman government in Judea. I think sometimes the places described in Scripture seem a little alien to us, maybe a little abstract. If you're anything like me, I like to understand where things happened to help me solidify my understanding. We've got a short video that I hope will help in this and will give us a good idea of what it was like to live in Caesarea. Graham, if you could you play 7 minutes and 25 seconds precisely of the video, please?
The video is available on YouTube. Please check back onto the website to find the URL in order to link to it.
Thank you, Graham, for sharing that. I hope that video was useful. The whole video is about 20 minutes long, and it's well worth watching. There's lots more in there relating to later chapters of Acts and to Paul. And I think it's really useful to really ground us in the reality of it. So we can see in verse 2, Cornelius is described as a God-fearing and devout man. The city of Caesarea had a majority Roman population, and along with them, they brought all their polytheistic views and all their religious practices that accompanied them. Cornelius must have rejected these and turned to Yahweh. Verse 22 gives us a clue that he had connections to the minority Jewish community and was well respected, but had not become a proselyte. That's, he hadn't made a commitment to become a Jew. This must have been very unusual, because for a devout Jew, association with a Roman or the Roman community would have been pretty abhorrent. You can see here Cornelius's heart was obvious in his giving and his humility. God had been preparing the ground, so to speak. In verse 3, we see Cornelius found in prayer at about 3 in the afternoon, and he receives a vision of an angel. Cornelius's response is pretty characteristic of those who encounter such visions in Scripture. He was frightened. The angel brings a message that shows God takes an intimate interest in Cornelius's life and his actions. This is true also for us. Christian or not, God is intimately aware of our thoughts and deeds. Cornelius acts in faith and immediately obeys the angel's message, calling two servants and a devout soldier, who is one of his attendants, and sends them to Joppa to seek out Simon Peter. Joppa was the principal port before Caesarea. It's about 35 miles away and quite a leg-numbing walk. The day after Cornelius's vision, as his servants approach Joppa, Peter's can be found in prayer on the rooftop terrace at Simon's house. It was about midday, and Peter became very hungry as the food was being prepared. Peter falls into a trance and sees what appears to be a large square sheet held by corners being lowered from heaven. Contained within the sheet are all kinds of creatures, four-footed animals, reptiles, and birds. Peter is clearly instructed by voice to rise, kill, and eat. Peter recognized the creatures as those he would have been forbidden to eat as by the Jewish laws, dietary laws. We have to understand that Peter was a devout Jew and he'd been brought up in the Jewish religion and was still keeping its dietary laws. For Peter, the thought of breaking these laws was horrific. Even though his tummy was gurgling, as we can see from his response, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The vision is repeated three times, really for emphasis. And Peter is told, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." The sheets return to heaven, and Peter emerges from his trance, wondering what the vision could mean. Immediately, the Holy Spirit commands him to leave the rooftop and go with the men Cornelius has sent without hesitation. For Peter, again, this would have been a challenge for him as a Jew to accompany a Roman soldier and probably two Gentile servants for a long journey. That would have been pretty unpalatable, but Peter obeys. This is key to what's happening here. Peter humbly obeys, even though he's having a bit of a day of it. Once Peter hears the explanation from Cornelius's servants, he invites them to stay as guests. Something pretty dramatic is happening within Peter. His obedience to God's command is leading him to challenge the rules and traditions of his Jewish religious upbringing. I think there is a challenge here for us as individuals and church. As church, we have our own culture and traditions. I think it's possible for these sometimes to hinder God. The challenge is also a difficult balance. How can we maintain our distinctiveness and separation as God's people and church without this becoming a very real barrier to his work? Jesus was often to be found in the company of those a devout Jew would never have been with. As individuals, we must not let our prejudices and practices limit God's work. God cares passionately for those that society shuns. Peter and a number of believers from Joppa now travel to Caesarea in the company of Cornelius' servants. They would have had ample time during the long walk to talk and to think, to learn more about Cornelius, and to learn more about his family and the Jewish life in Caesarea. A sense of anticipation and excitement must have been aroused within them. God was clearly at work.
Broke.
In verse 24, we read that Cornelius was waiting, and he gathered together his family and a group of friends in anticipation of Peter's arrival. This shows both the faith that Cornelius had and also the nature of his faith. Cornelius believes God's message and waits and actively prepares. We can see in verses 27 to 29 the transformation that's happened in Peter. He's put down the dividing rules of his Jewish culture and goes inside Cornelius's house. He fully understands the vision that he'd had upon the rooftop terrace a few days earlier. God's message of salvation through the work of Jesus is for all, not just the Jews. Peter has undergone a huge change in a few days. This is what John Stott describes as the conversion of Peter. Peter asks of Cornelius why he sent for him, and Cornelius recounts the vision that he experienced earlier. It's clear that God has been preparing Cornelius, his family, and friends to receive the message of Peter. Undoubtedly, God could have saved Cornelius and his family and his friends without Peter. But God chooses to act through Peter. The same is true today, and we have the privilege to obediently work with God. He prepares the harvest, but are we willing to get our hands dirty? The message of good news Peter gives is true, relevant, and potent today as it was when he first spoke it. As Peter discovered, the good news is for people of every nation who fear God and do what is right. God is very much still at work. The question is, are we willing to obey, challenge our own prejudices, and work up a sweat in the fields? Thank you very much.